You're listening to Defending Faith, Family, and Freedom, featuring Gary Bauer, Senior Vice President of Public Policy at the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute. And now, here's Gary.
Hi, this is Gary Bauer, Senior Vice President for Public Policy at the James Dobson Family Institute. Welcome to our podcast, Defending Faith, Family, and Freedom. I'm glad you're with us, and tell your friends about it. Well, it's great to be with you all again. There's a lot going on in Washington, D.C., but I want to talk today about an issue that maybe you aren't really putting the pieces all together. Now, I know if you followed Dr. James Dobson over the years, or if you followed me, or followed both of us, or if you listened to other conservative and evangelical leaders and pro-life leaders, et cetera, you know that we've all been urging people like you for literally decades to be more involved in the American public square. Be active citizens, register to vote, join the party of your choice, go to meetings, go to school board meetings, speak up at your kid's school, do all the things that we're blessed to be able to do in the United States of America, built on the idea in this nation that our liberty comes from God. But you also know that over the years, when we say these things about Christians have to be involved, we're often attacked. Right? You've seen it over and over again. The media will say, haven't you heard about the separation of church and state? And there's a bunch of groups out there, sort of radical, secular groups. There's a group called Americans United for the Separation of Church and State. There's atheist groups, and they all will say, you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to bring your faith into the public square. Well, of course, that's hogwash. America was built on biblical ideas. I hope all of you don't need an explanation for that, but let me just briefly mention the explanation again. Our founding fathers borrowed ideas from ancient Rome and ancient Greece about how to organize societies and governments for a free nation. That's true. But the most important ideas they built the country on, they found in the Bible, in both the Old and New Testament. That's why we call ourselves, and a lot of Europeans call themselves, Judeo-Christian nations. The basic ideas of the American founding are ideas that are in the Bible. So when somebody out there, some radical secularists, says that we can't be involved in politics, or they try to threaten us or take away a church's tax exemption, they're going against the whole idea of America. I bring that up because I want to remind you that there are other groups out there, other religious groups out there, and they are saying very specific things to their following about what those people need to do in America. And these are not Christian groups. So I want to tell you about one of them because it has great significance for what we're facing today. There is another force quietly at work in America, and its motivation is not the Bible. The Council on American-Islamic Relations is one example of a group. Its initials spell out CAIR, C-A-I-R. And it's a group that advocates, quite frankly, for Islamic supremacy right here in the United States. It has really significant connections to another group called the Muslim Brotherhood. And the Muslim Brotherhood is linked directly to terrorism. But by the way, just to reinforce this point and to let you know that I'm not exaggerating, I have it on good authority that probably in the next couple of months, you're going to see an announcement from Secretary of State Marco Rubio. And the announcement's going to be about efforts to severely regulate the Muslim Brotherhood because of its links to Islamic terrorism. So these are serious groups. And if you leave the terrorism part of it out and just look at the group CARE, the Council for American Islamic Relations, they've got a serious agenda too. And I want to bring up to you a speech that a guy named Neha Awad delivered about a year ago that got almost no attention in the American media. And the speech was delivered at a mosque, an Islamic center in Texas. Yeah, I mean, I think some people are surprised there are even Islamic centers in Texas. But actually, the Muslim population of Texas is growing relatively quickly, particularly in various specific locations in the state. So he gives this speech, and I'm going to just quote directly from it because it is, as I said, it's very telling. Now, this is this head of CARE, and he's talking to a Muslim audience, and the target of his speech overall are American Muslims. And this is what he says, quote, "If we commit to do this," and the thing he's talking about here is if Muslims will get more involved in the American political system and in American government. So that's what he's referring to. If we commit to do this, four years from now, the Muslim community will have 4,000 new Muslim journalists. We will have 4,000 Muslim filmmakers, 4,000 new Muslim lawyers, 4,000 students of political science, 4,000 students of history. And the year after that, we will have 4,000 more in each of those categories. And then he says this, 15 years from now, the Muslim community will have 50,000, an army of these people. They will design our image. They will protect the truth as Islam sees it, and the news as Islam sees it. Most likely, many of these people will run for public office, he says, and they will become lawmakers. And then he ends by saying this, in 10 years, we can possibly have 40 to 50 Muslim members in the U.S. Congress. Now, just imagine a pastor at any Christian conference saying, we need to have at least 50 hardcore evangelical Christians to advance our agenda in Congress. That pastor would be condemned as a threat to democracy, or maybe called a dangerous Christian nationalist who's trying to take over America. And by the way, I've been called those things already. Dr. Dobson has been called those things. Many of the Christian groups that you're familiar with have been called these things when we talk about the need for more Christians to become involved in government. But this Muslim apologist, this head of a group called CARE, and most Americans don't even know the name of the group, let alone this related group called the Muslim Brotherhood, they didn't know anything about this speech. There wasn't any group out there that said to this head of CARE, you can't be talking like that. This is not an Islamic country. We don't want the Quran running the Congress of the United States or what's going on in the White House or who has a majority in the Congress. Now, look, we're a country built on religious liberty. Anybody can be involved in America, in American politics. So he has a right to give a speech like this, but it should be a wake-up call for us. Because if we as Christians fall asleep at the wheel, if we don't get involved, if we're not willing to be active citizens, we're going to wake up and find that the vision that this president of CARE outlined is in fact what America will be 10 or 15 years from now. Now, I want to be really careful about how I say this, but I hope everybody realizes that if the United States Congress had a solid majority of serious believing Christians, there is absolutely no doubt in my mind that this would be a better country. If the majority of Congress believed in the sanctity of human life, if they believed that marriage was between a man and a woman, if they believed that the schools ought to be teaching children reliable standards of right and wrong, if they believed that that our liberty came from the God of the Bible and not from the Congress or the Supreme Court or the president, if they approached problems like crime and poverty and racial reconciliation and respect for all human beings and all citizens in our country, that Congress with the majority of Christians, we would have a much better country. But what if the majority in the Congress, or a significant majority in the Congress, were made up of people that were Muslim supremacists, believed in Muslim supremacy? Well, you know, we don't have to guess about this, really. There are a couple of Muslim members of Congress right now. One of them, for example, is Ilhan Omar. And I'm telling you, my friends, we don't want 50 Ilhan Omars in Congress. She says terrible things about America. She's compared the American military to Nazi guards at prison camps. She gives speeches where she says her real loyalty is to the nation of Somalia, where she came from, not to the United States. So if there is a majority in our governing bodies of those kinds of Muslims, our country is going to be in deep trouble, and religious liberty will be in deep trouble. Another way we can make decisions about this is if you look around the world and look at any of this, I think there's 48 Muslim majority countries in the world. They are not pleasant places. They're not pleasant places for religious minorities. They're not pleasant places for Christians and for Jews. They're often not pleasant places for women. So it makes a difference if you live in a nation governed by people who believe the Quran and being governed by people that believe the Bible. Now, I want to bring up something else that's happening that a lot of people are puzzled by, and I'm going to try to briefly explain it to you and tell you why it's happening. There are cities like New York and Minneapolis that are on the verge of electing Muslim mayors of these cities. The guy in New York is likely to win, and the guy in Minneapolis is likely to win, because not only are they being supported by Muslim citizens in those cities, there's now a million Muslims in New York City, and those that are of voting age and are citizens are going to vote for this candidate to be mayor. But these candidates are also being supported by the most liberal left-wing voters in Minneapolis and in New York and in other American cities where we're likely to see this happen in the years ahead. The same thing's going on in Europe. The mayor of London is a Muslim. The mayor of other European cities are Muslims. And millions of Muslims are migrating to nations all over Europe and to the United States, many of them coming here illegally. And when they get here and they become citizens, those new Muslim voters find themselves in alliances with these radical liberal groups that I'm referring to. So in New York City, socialist groups, Marxist groups, pro-abortion groups, the LGBTQ community, they are all falling in line behind a Muslim candidate for mayor. Now, people hear this and they go, whoa, wait a minute. How can that be happening? Why would socialists and Marxists and pro-abortionists and gays and lesbians, why would they be supporting a Muslim candidate? Islam does not look very kindly on some of those things. Well, the answer to that is very troubling. They have one big thing in common. The radical Muslims and these radical Muslim groups and the radical liberal groups and leftist groups, the one thing they have in common is they hate Judeo-Christian civilization. They want to replace Judeo-Christian civilization. Now, the leftists and the socialists and the Marxists, they want to turn all the countries in Europe and they want to turn the United States into a secular country. They want Christianity. They have nothing to do with the United States. The radical Muslims in Europe and in the United States, they want to turn America into a country that is governed by Sharia law, law based on the Quran. Well, it can't be both, right? One wants radical secular government. The other one wants government under the Quran. But standing in the way of both groups are people like us that believe in the values of Judeo-Christian civilization. And so right now, these Muslim groups and radical secular groups are willing to put aside their differences with the radical, other radical leftist groups in order to get rid of any political power that people like you and I have. So this is a moment where as Christians, and I would say the same thing to our Jewish brothers and sisters, you know, every place radical Islam gets in control, anti-Semitism grows, hostility to Christianity grows. So Christians and Jews need to form alliances to protect Judeo-Christian civilization. And here in the United States, if we want this to remain one nation under God, that's the God of the Bible. If we want this to be a nation that remains a nation like the one our founding fathers gave us, a nation that understands that our liberty comes from the God of the Bible, then we better be as serious about being involved and electing people that share our values as the radical Islamists and the radical socialists and Marxists are. If we're not, then not many years from now, our grandchildren, maybe even our children, will be unable to live in a country like the America that we grew up in. Well, that's our message today. I hope you enjoyed it, but I also hope that it's given you a new enthusiasm, a new desire to be an active citizen so we can protect this great nation, this shining city on a hill that we have been so blessed to be born in and to live in. Well, God bless you all. Thank you for being with us on the podcast. Keep coming to the James Dobson Family Institute for resources that you can use in your local community, in your family, in raising your children. And we look forward to the weeks and months ahead working with and standing alongside of you. God bless you all.
Subscribe to Gary Bauer's Defending Faith, Family, and Freedom where you find your favorite podcasts. Just hit the subscribe button to ensure you receive every episode.